for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
This is the Friday morning service of July the 5th, 1996, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate is the speaker for the morning.
Well, we're going to turn Brother George Wingate during the morning, rest of the morning, over to him to minister and to close the service however the Lord leads him. And praise your Jesus.
Say just a word or two, and then we're going to listen to a little short tape. 7 minutes. I think you'll get an inspiration, a revelation, and a joy from what you're going to hear. A brother of mine brought this tape, a friend brought this tape over, and he said, I got something here I think you'll like. And I liked it so well, I went down and had some copies made, and I've given them around here and there, brought one up here. And if you want a copy of this to take back, you'll have to see Benno or Glenn or Irma or somebody and tell them about it. They'll have this tape they can make copies of. And as I said, it's only 7 minutes. But before we listen to that, I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 138. And we're going to look at just a verse of Scripture. Psalm 138. Not a very long psalm, but we're going to look at the first two verses. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Every demon spirit is a false god. And anything that they can get you to do that's not a praise to the Lord, they delight in doing it. Verse 2 says, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You remember Jesus said, many will come to me in that day saying, Lord, Lord, have not we done this and that and so on, done many mighty things? And he'll say, depart from me, I don't know you. It's not enough just to say the name Jesus. Again, the man that said, okay, you devils come out of this man by the Christ that Paul preaches. And the demon said, well, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? There's no substitute, folks, for the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God is God talking to you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among you. That's Jesus, right? Amen, O me. And the Word was Jesus. And Jesus said, what I've done, you will do. Jesus was the Word. God wants us to become living epistles read of all men. He wants us to be so filled with the Word, so just shining as lights. And so sometimes we don't have to say anything. We just walk in the presence of somebody, and that Word, we're so full of it, it just pulsates. Because the Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. All right? Now, listen to this little short tape, and it'll tell you a little something about the Word and God. You know, this, okay?
My king was born king. The Bible says he's a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. Now that's my King.
Well, I wonder if you know him. Do you know him? Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My King is the only one whom there are no means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his surely supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my King. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. Well, he's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strong God and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's a head of the heroes. He's a leader of the legislators. He's an overseer of the overcomers. He's a governor of governors. He's a prince of princes. He's a King of kings. And he's a Lord of lords. That's my King. Yeah. Yeah.
His manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you. But he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yes. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining. You can't get him out of your mind.
You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him. But they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. And Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my King. Yeah. He always has been. And he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor. And he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my feeling. And the glory. Well, all the power belongs to my king. We around here talking about black power and white power and green power, but it's God's power. Thine is the power. Yeah. And the glory. We trying to get prestige and honor and glory for ourselves, but the glory is all his. Yeah. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
Oh, I get a big chart out of that every time I hear it.
Yes, Katie?
Hallelujah. 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 Katie, would you and Laura come do something for me? A lot of y'all have the first half of this. If you have it, don't take one, okay? And I've also got some copies of the second half, but I don't know if I've got enough for... to go around this crowd this morning or not. But anyway, we'll do what we can. Katie, you take those half, and everybody that's got hasn't got one of these, hold your hand up. Okay? Just give them out as far as they'll go, because I don't think anybody has any of those, Katie. Laura. And you'll understand why I'm handing them out to you after a while. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but there's such an anointing coming on me, I'm shaking like a leaf. That's unusual for me. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God's good. God's good. And he wants us to join him, to be like him. Oh, well, nobody can be like God. You better be. You better be. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And that holiness doesn't mean like a strainer, a sieve full of holes. It simply means that you are to become a righteous person. Justified. Justified. And someone said that means just as if I'd never sinned.
How many more of these do we need? The first I am?
The first I am.
Okay, we'll get a couple dozen more.
How about the second? Was there enough to go around? Somebody, several, we need some of both, Brother Glenn.
Okay.
Now, even before I get started in this little bit of information here this morning, teaching about obedience, just let me say this. You're never going to rise any higher in your walk with God than you've got the boldness and the courage and the guts to confess. Well, I don't feel like I'm worthy to confess thus and such. Whoever said you had to feel like it? In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Most of conversation that I hear tells me that people, by and large, are still carnally minded. You're talking in the realm of the senses rather than the Spirit. And your words either justify you or condemn you. one or the other. And so these things that you were just handed, the scripture's there for every one of them. Mark it in your Bible. Look at it. Make it a part of your confession. Say what God says. That's the reason Paul said in Romans 12, 1, 2, and 3 about the transformation of the mind. That's the reason that he said in Philippians 2 that we are to have the mind of Christ. The Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart or mind, many times interchangeable, heart and mind, interchangeable. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As long as any of us will allow our mouth to speak a negative issue about somebody else, even if that somebody else is negative, as long as we allow our mouth to say it, then we've got a problem. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul said in Ephesians 4:29, let no evil communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. That means that you can't even allow your mind to be used by the devil to think an evil thought concerning someone or even yourself. As Christians now, I'm talking to Christians, okay? You are what God says you are and not what your head or somebody else's head says. You are what God says you are, whether you feel like it, smell like it, look like it, or whatever. God calls those things which are not as if they were, and he tells us to do the same thing. A process of growing, learning, desiring the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow. Hallelujah. We don't come to God at, let's say, 37 years old, college graduate with a doctor's degree in philosophy or whatever. We don't come to God in that stage. We come to God as a little child. In other words, you're willing to say, God, I'm a dumb, stupid thing. I know nothing. Here it is, this ball of clay. God, take it and make it over. I give all of my so-called learning to you. Thank God for my brain. God, I've used it to accumulate all this worldly knowledge. But now, God, would you just take it and form it and fashion it and make it over again into the very likeness and image of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, what I've done, you will do. That means we're to learn how to talk like he talked, walk like he walked, live like he lived. Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin court, wrongly accused of all kinds of stuff. What do you mean, Sanhedrin court? You're wrongly accusing me. Who do you think you are? I'm the Son of God. Is that what he said? He didn't open his mouth. Why didn't he? Because he knew who he was. He didn't have to try to justify himself in any way whatsoever. And when we get to that place in God to where we can, whoever says what, doesn't make any difference, we can just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, oh, well, praise the Lord anyway. I don't like the way you preach. Praise the Lord. If we're going to be dead to self and alive to Christ, we're going to react that way. I have another sheet of paper that says, do not allow yourself to become upset by people or things. They are powerless. Your reaction is their only power. For every action, there's a reaction. How do we react? A dead person doesn't react. Go down to the morgue and take an ice pick with you and pull out, let them, you know, just let them pull out a corpse and take that ice pick and go through the action of sticking that ice pick in that corpse, what's going to be the reaction? Nothing. He ain't going to say ouch. Well, as far as all of the negative issues of life, which come right out of the pit, let me say that, then we're to have that kind of reaction. Say what you want. Say what you want. You mean you're not going to get angry? No. You're not going to get upset? No. You're not going to be resentful? No. Well, why? Because I believe the Word of God. We're to come to that place to where we can say, because I simply stand on the Word of God, I'm what God says I am. And as far as this old world's concerned, I ain't even here. I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. I have been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Not going to be, I have been. And I am joined to God. Joined to Him. And I don't have any problem in saying that. Well, who do you think you are? I'm a son of God. Well, you think you're so high and mighty. Well, I'm so high, I'm sitting in heavenly places with Jesus. Can't get any higher. Well, you don't look like it. Who said I had to look like it? Doesn't make any difference, see? Until we learn the process of obedience, we're going to have problems. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You want to write it down? That's the title of this message this morning. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You want to see some happenings in the world today that's prophesied in the Bible? The Bible talks about there'll be bundles. Jesus in Matthew 13 talked about there'll be gathered in bundles. The tares will be gathered in bundles and burned in the fire. I went to a hospital in San Francisco, California, to visit a deacon. They asked me to go. He had a problem. He was literally burning on the outside. I mean, hot enough that it was uncomfortable to put your hand on him, but he had no internal fever. The fire, the consuming fire of God was on him. And God let him know that if he didn't straighten up and get out of situations that he's going to burn up. He'd die. The Bible says in Hebrews, I want you to see this. Hebrews, it's either 6 or 10, I forget. Hebrews chapter 10, we'll check it out first. Some of y'all might want to remind me. It says, once we come to the knowledge of the truth and then turn away. Six. Six, okay? Mark it in your Bible. Now, here again, I must say this is for Christians, not the non-Christian. He's dead in trespasses and sins. He don't know any better. But God expects us to know better. And once we learn, God expects us to walk in the truth. Amen? Know the truth, and the truth will make you free. 6:10 what? 10:26? Okay. 10:26? Yes. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Now, let me just paint a word picture for you. You've gotten saved and God has placed you on the road of life. That's a straight and narrow path. Amen? And you're going down that road of life, taking in the Word, But all of a sudden, there's sort of a, shall I say, a rush to the mind, and this situation kind of draws you off. And you kind of get off track, and you get on a side road. And it may be through a violent argument. It may be through, if you've had trouble with alcohol, going out and getting drunk all over again, doing things you shouldn't. Any kind of a side road that takes you away from the truth of the Word of God. After a little while, you say, oh, my goodness, I shouldn't have done those things. God, I'm sorry, I repent. God says, hey, you knew better. I've already forgiven you. Now you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The word repent means to turn around. While you turn around, God's not going to take you, go way out there, pick you up by the hair of the head, and say, okay, you sweet little old thing, you know, and pat you on the back and sit you over on that straight road of life. He says, turn around, repent, and work your way back out through that. And that's what this kind of camp is all about. Working your way back. Getting rid of the garbage that you've allowed to come in through the five senses and begin to manipulate and control you. Deliverance is not just a one-time thing, folks. It's an ongoing way of life. In 29 years, if I've had deliverance once, I've had it five times. I don't know how many hundreds of times. I was in a home in place in Jefferson City, Missouri. My wife and I were staying in a big house with about 8 or 10 young people. And boy, there was all kind of stuff going in. Little by little, we stayed there at night. And when you stay in a place where demons are active, you lay yourself down and go to sleep. Your conscious mind is at rest. Demons will be all over that area at night, and they'll slip in. They'll slip in to your mind and body. Even though you're a spirit-baptized Christian, they will slip in. Why? Well, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God to start with. But something else can. And it's up to you and I, as spiritual beings, to take authority over the rest of this house and keep it clean. My mind began to get loggy. I began to get excessively just lethargic. And I said to my wife, I said, we got to get away from here for a while. So we left that place and we began to talk about the blood of Jesus. Maybe even something kind of like this. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. I've been redeemed out of the hand of Satan by the shed blood of Jesus. The name of Jesus is above every name. The name of Jesus is above this heavy feeling. The name of Jesus is the name that I call on right now. And just about that time, both of us start yawning. Thank you. Out it goes. And man, we just keep up that barrage of confession. That's our spiritual weapon, and we just continue to cut the devils to pieces, and out they go. Out they go. God wants each and every one of us to keep ourselves in the love of God. In the love of God. Love never fails. Never. And God says, Jesus said, Luke 10:19, I give to you power. Behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, if we don't use that power, then it's not God's fault, is it? Well, who don't want us to even come to a knowledge of us having that power? I first began to move in the area of deliverance. I found myself in California. Without going into detail, I spent 5 hours sitting at a dinette table one night with this little half Filipino, half American girl mother sitting there and her husband staying around behind her. I'd already told him, don't let her get away from this table. Took 5 hours But I was determined to see that woman set free. Start at 9 o'clock, at 2 o'clock in the morning, just a few minutes before 2, that spirit talking through the woman said, "Where am I going?" I said, "I don't care where you go. Get out." "Well, I haven't got any place to go." I said, "That's too bad." Then her head dropped down on a table and the boo-hooing started. Wasn't her. Spirits. Pretty soon, that thing just left. Didn't have a big show, it just left. The facial expression on that woman changed. Her eyes changed. Instead of that cloudy, dead look, there come a sparkle. A transformation took place right there in front of my eyes. Same thing with the little girl in Philippines in 1973. A demon-possessed girl. Filipino people are kind of small as a rule, and this little gal was probably about so high, 15 years old. But under the control of these spirits, she was strong as any three or four men. Would go into somebody's house and just ransack and tear it to pieces in just minutes. The only way they could contain her was to keep her tied with wire around her wrist, and then that in a rope, and that up over the ceiling joist in a loft of a building. The second day I was there in this little town of Cabad Baran, they come, said, "Well, can you come help this girl?" Okay. So I went, and when I walked into the room, they had just brought her back from another one. She'd squirmed loose from another rampage. And I walked into the room. The demon spirits in that girl began to, "Father, Father," come from a Catholic background and was just, just putting on a show. And the Spirit of God rose up in me and I said, "In the name of Jesus, shut up." And she crumpled right down on the floor. And my heart just broke. I sit down there by that girl, put her head in my lap, looked into her eyes, and I got a surprise. They were wide open. There was no white. They were solid black. They didn't stay that way, praise God. The anointing of God was there, and I spoke to that demon. I said, "You are defeated. And in Jesus' name, by the authority of the Word of God, I command you, get out of this girl." Put her head down. Got up, walked in another room. There was four Filipino ministers there. I said, "Go tell this town that Jesus has set this girl free." That night, I happened to be the one scheduled to speak in the assembly. And I had no more than stepped up there on this makeshift platform and no walls, just a kind of a roof. And here come this young Filipino lieutenant that had come after me. It was his sister that was in this condition. Here come this lieutenant walking in with his sister hand in hand. Walked up to the platform and I stopped and he looked up and he said, "Brother George," with a great big smile on his face, "my sister." She's standing there just kind of with her head down. I reached down and lifted her chin up and her eyes were clear. And I said, "Can you say Jesus is Lord?" Wasn't very loud. She smiled. She said, "Jesus, my Lord." And that place went wild. From bondage to liberty. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And everything that God has for us, we can have through our obedience to Him. He won't override our will. If we want to, if we desire to disobey Him, then we will absolutely, definitely suffer the consequences. God's not like the situation that we see today. "If you do that again now, I'm going to spank you." That's the way children have started off. And they do it 14 more times, and they finally realize, hey, I can do what I want to. I ain't gonna get no spanking. You ask them why? Well, Mom, Dad, you know, they're just liars. They don't do what they say. Hallelujah. God's not that way. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Amen. Get started here. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. Help us to love you more. I'm reading from the New King James, and perhaps there's half a dozen or more different translations around, but do try to keep track as much as you can. Now, it shall come to pass when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, okay? Now, you've read Deuteronomy 28, 27, 28. You know what the curses are, the blessings, and so on. I assume that you have. And you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice. Let me tell you something, folks. This is the voice of God. Okay? Not some voice that you hear in your head. Now, God will remind you by his Spirit of his Word. The Spirit of God and the Word of God always, always bear witness together. The Holy Spirit will never, ever go against the Word of God. And you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today. Command you today, you and your children, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. That's what God's doing right here in this camp meeting, starting every morning at 6 o'clock, bringing us back from captivity. Whatever that little idiosyncrasy is, resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever, that's, you're in captivity. That's not the way God planned for you to be. And have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, and there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. God is bringing people together. God's building a house. We're bricks in that house. Every one of us must learn how to shoulder our load. Every one of us ought to pray for each other. We're to learn how to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of love. Verse 5, then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. Now, let me just ask a simple question. Is there anybody here that would say, I don't want to be prosperous? I don't see any hands going up. Hallelujah. Verse 6, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Why? That you may live. Existing. Get up in the morning, you wish it was night. Got to face another day. Go to bed at night and you wish it was day because your sleep's troubled. Existing. That's not God's plan. He wants you to live. The Bible says that you're to have life and have it more abundantly. I like the abundant life. I got some of it. I want some more. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecuted you.
Now, the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Is that correct? So then your enemy is not another human being. Doesn't make any difference what he does. Your enemy is not yourself. It's only what is in you that rules, reigns, gives you orders. Paul said in Romans 6:12, he said, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it or them." Talking about demons. You can't separate demons and sin. Same thing, far as I'm concerned. Don't let it reign. Don't let it tell you what to do. Well, I'm a spirit of anger, and I'm going to use your faculties, and I'm going to really be angry. Well, I'm a spirit of hate, and I want you to hate that person over there. So most of us are slaves to the devil and don't even know it until we are set free by the blood and the name of Jesus. Anything that rules you, then you're a slave to it. Even God. I'm a love slave to God. I choose to be His slave. I guarantee you, if I wasn't, if I was living the old life, I'd be back there in Florida fishing today. But I am not that old person anymore. I love to do what I'm doing right now. Love it. Somebody told me 35, 40 years ago that I would delight in standing up in front of a crowd of people and proclaiming Jesus. I'd have said, "You are absolutely nuts." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 8, "And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all His commandments which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand." Now, folks, mark that promise in your Bible. Share that promise with your children, their children. My grandson came to live with me when he was about 13 years old. He was a failure in school, had been on drugs. They were out in California. He came to spend the summer months out of school with us. The second day, I sit him down and talked with him, and I said, "What do you want to be, Michael? Do you want to be a success in life or a failure?" Look him straight in the face. Well, anybody with any sense at all is not going to say, "I want to be a failure." "Well, Grandpa, I want to be a success." I said, "All right, if I guarantee you a way to be a success, would you be interested?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yes, sir." I said, "Number one, just simply surrender your life to Jesus." "Well, how do I do that?" Well, I showed him how to do that. Led him in some prayer. And we got that straightened out in the area of forgiveness of his, you know, in every area. And then I said, "Now, here's what I want you to do this summer while you're with us. I want you to read the book of Proverbs 25 times. You know, if you're going to build a house, you've got to have a foundation." I simply did what the Lord showed me and told me to tell him, and he did it. Well, today that young fellow is married to a good Christian woman. They have four children. He owns his own business. He owns his own home. He is a success. He loves the Lord. He works with the young people at the church. He's doing great. Why? Because he chose to obey the Word of God rather than follow in his parents' footsteps. He chose to get out of that rut. You know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. He chose to get out of that rut and to get in the right lane with God, and today he's successful. Praise the Lord. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If, little word, big meaning, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today, it is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. I hope everybody got shoes on. I'm about to step on some toes. You walk on the bottom, so it ought to be all right if I step on the top a little bit. Well, Brother George, I really don't have any false gods. I just, you know, there's a certain program that, that I've just got to watch, such and such. Thou shalt not bow down to any images made in the likeness of male or female or any such thing. It's amazing. We have all kind of images on that screen. And we become an image bower down to. Or this program, or that program, or some other program. I met an old evangelist years ago, 84 years old. We got to talking one day, and he said he'd been serving the Lord for 44 years, and he said, I told my children as teenagers, when they got old enough, they left this house, if they even so much as brought a television into their home, I would never come to visit them. He saw the danger way back 30 years ago. Wife comes in to husband, says, I've got to stay here, and says, wait a minute. So she waits. She has to wait for the commercial to come on before she can say anything. The children. Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you. Oh, don't say nothing right now. Can't you see I'm watching this? It's very important. Lord, I ask you to search the hearts of these people by the power of your Spirit. There's a ministry down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, called Faith Farms. The founder of that ministry is worth many millions of dollars today. The founder of that thing started by ministering to one alcoholic in his home. And Faith Farms is a place where they got a bunch of trucks running all over the area down there, picking up stuff like the Salvation Army and the other kind of things. And many hundreds of televisions are given to them. Never is there one sold out of their store. The tube is, the picture tube is broken. The cabinet is made into a nice piece of furniture and somehow. And the components are sold separately. But that man, I forget his name. But again, he said, it destroys too many families. And I will not allow one to go out of this area, this place. Hallelujah. Our God, folks, is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. I went to California in 1975 to visit my daughter, and I saw hell at work. Three little children being forced to sit in front of a television with cartoons going, and yet they couldn't utter a sound. They couldn't laugh. They couldn't giggle because dad's dad, their grandfather, raised his son in such a manner he couldn't open his mouth about nothing. Shut up! That's all he ever heard. So when his children come along, then that hate and resentment and bitterness and all the garbage in him was portrayed toward those little ones. The devil's a hard taskmaster. Give him an inch and he'll take 50 miles. It's so much better to be sold out for God, the one true God, through Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word bearing witness together, and enjoy life, than to have any part of the devil whatsoever. Hallelujah. Again, the Word of God tells us a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. If there's anything in your life that controls or manipulates you and you can't control yourself, your emotions, your whatever, any area of the five senses, if you can't control it, then you need to pray about it. You need to receive some counsel. And undoubtedly, you're going to have to receive deliverance from demons. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. People are not our problems, okay? What does obedience to God, what does it result in? One thing, it results by being treasured by God. Exodus 19:5. Let's turn there and let's mark it in your Bibles. Exodus 19. Now, therefore, when you see a therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a special treasure to me. In the natural, what is a treasure? All kinds of things. Some people, their treasure might be their car. Some ladies, their treasure might be their jewelry. Some men, it might be their hunting or fishing equipment. None of that stuff is worth nothing when it comes right down to it. But this treasure, the 7,000 promises scattered throughout this book, are treasures beyond compare. Read Psalm 19 sometime. Tell you a little bit about treasure. Obedience will cause you to be blessed in life. Psalm 119.
We'll see five things there. I think it's five things in Psalm 119. I love Psalm 119 because every verse talks about the commandments, the statutes, the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with pardon. Oh, who seek him with a whole heart on Wednesday and Sunday. Who seek him with a whole heart at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp at camp meeting time. It don't read that way, Miss Miller? Yours don't read that way either, Brother Jim? Must be wrong. To seek him with the whole heart, mind. All right? You won't be ashamed. Where'd I get that? No, 4, 5, and 6. Chapter, I'm getting ahead of myself. 4, 5, and 6. Oh, let's see. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. After all, we live on this side of the cross, and we're not under the law anymore, but we're just under grace. You ever heard that said?
Absolutely.
Let me tell you something. The best answer you can give to any kind of comment like that in your head or anybody else's is simply say, well, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't change. So if he said it back then, he's saying it today. And if he's saying it today, he's going to say it tomorrow. Let me read something here for you, quickly. This is about the Old and the New Testament. The new is in the old contained. The old is by the new explained. The new is in the old concealed. The old is by the new revealed. The new is in the old foreshown. The old is in the new full grown. Can't do one, can't have one without the other. It's all or none. God's going to be God of all, or he will not be God at all. All right, let's go on quickly. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Do you know that we are privileged today to have revelation, illumination, and inspiration much more than people had 200, 300, 400, 500 years ago. And God's continuing to reveal himself to us as we dig in and separate ourselves unto God. The more you read and study and meditate in the Word, then the more your lampshade gets cleaner. And when it does, then the brighter the light, and the brighter the light, then the clearer you see. I walked over in an Assembly of God church one night. The Lord spoke to me. I was sitting on one side of the church and reading somewhere in Matthew. I don't remember where. And he said, go show that brother over there. It was a good friend of mine. He said, go show that brother that passage of Scripture. So I walked over there and held my Bible down in front of him. I said, called him by name. I said, Lord, the Lord said to me to come over and ask you to read these four verses right here. He read them and he looked up at me and he said, you know, I bet I've read through Matthew 50 times. I never saw that before.
Right then, the Lord revealed something to him. Hallelujah. Verse 101 will help us to avoid evil. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. That I may keep your word. He refrained his foot from evil because he loved God. Oh, but Brother George, I just love God with all my heart. How much do you obey? Obedience. You show your love to God by obeying what he says. Again, he's not like we natural people. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous, but nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. God will spank us, chastens those that he loves. And we've come to that place of loving him so much that we obey him so that we don't need to get spanked. I've had some spankings from the Lord, and they're not good. What about guidance for life? Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If it isn't, folks, make it a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, so that you may avoid the snares of the devil. The only way that we're going to avoid the snares of the devil is to know what God says, choose to do what God says, and not what our head says. Oh, but Brother George, I just can't quite help it. I just have to have or do or say whatever. No, you don't. No, you don't. There have been a lot of times in the last 6 months when situations have come up in my life between me and other people when I would my head would feel like it was going to bust if I didn't say so-and-so. And I've just simply inside made the statement, bust, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, we learn how to conquer our mind. You conquer your mind, and you've conquered the devil, because that's the only place he's got to work. But if you don't conquer your mind, the devil will conquer you in one way or another. One or more ways. Hallelujah. And God says, hey, I want a people without spot or blemish. I want a people that will follow after me and nothing else. Hallelujah. What about safety and freedom from anxiety? Would that be a good one to have? Proverbs 1:33. Well, now, wait a minute, Brother George. After all, you know, the Bible, people... You know, there are human beings that just wrote that stuff, you know, and after all, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, the Word of God is God talking to us. Whether we want to believe that, whether we want to receive it or accept it, makes no difference. It's still God talking to us. We better listen to what God has to say, don't you think? Proverbs 1:33 says, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely. Boy, if we didn't even read the last of it, that's enough right there to get our attention. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely. If you're not dwelling safely, folks, then you must not be listening to God. And will be secure without fear of evil. Insecurity has many, many forms. Many forms.
Oh, but you know, I'm just afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that. No, you're insecure. In Jesus, there is fullness of joy. In Jesus, there's life in that more abundant. Life in that more abundant. In Jesus. I'll take a whole barrel of that kind of life. How about you? Several barrels. All right? Let's look at Proverbs 19, verse 16. Lord, I just bind any spirit of distraction and confusion in the name of Jesus. Verse 16, he who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. But he who is careless of his ways will die. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul. Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess you your soul. Impatience will cause us to lose part of our soul. The talk about fragmentation of the soul. If I could ask a question right now, and if you would be honest, there's been some souls that have been fragmented right here this morning. A little bit jumps over yonder somewhere. Well, I wonder what's going on back home. Okay. All right. Let's turn to Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 19. Yet you say, why should the Son not bear the guilt of the Father? Because the Son has done what is lawful and right, and has kept all my statutes and done them, he shall surely live. You want to break generational curses? Do what God says to do. You don't have to stay under a curse. You don't have to follow in the footsteps of those behind you. Well, he's just like his father, got that violent temper. Well, help him to get out of it. John 8. Book of John, New Testament, John chapter 8. Verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Think about that. I can just see the wheels turning. You won't even understand that until you realize that you are a spiritual being rather than a physical being. And you as a spiritual being will never die.
Someone said the other day, I forget who it was, said,
well, the Lord just turned me upside down. No, you're already upside down. All of us were upside down. God got a hold of us and by his Spirit drew us into himself and turned us right side up. Now, thank God we're right side up. Hallelujah. Well, time to shut down, but I'm halfway through. To be continued, I'll put it that way. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. Glory to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 12, he said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. I want you to say some words that justify you. Is that all right? Say this with me. Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I make a vow
to you this morning
that I will, by an act of my will,
do my utmost
to meditate
To study.
To ponder.
Your word.
Which means
I will sit at your feet.
And allow you
to talk to me.
Lord God,
I want to hear from you.
I want you to speak to me.
I want you to tell me
what you want to tell me.
So, oh God,
I lay all of my telling yous
aside,
and I'll listen to you.
And I ask your help
in doing this.
And I'll praise you,
and I'll give you the glory,
because I know
that everything you tell me
is for my good
and your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
I receive it
in Jesus' name
right now.
Amen.
All right.
Be blessed. I think Tony's got the lunch prepared back there. And listen, let me quickly say, Lord, we bless you and praise you and thank you for your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, we ask you to bless the physical food that would nourish and strengthen these physical outward man so that we can use that strength and that vitality, Lord God, to draw ever closer to you. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.